Well, hello, friends and family in Christ. Another very important topic today. Would you agree that America is in a worldview war? I think most of you viewers and listeners would. So the question we want to ask and answer today is there still time to win the biblical worldview war? To talk about that today with the Nehemiah Institute, Dan Smithwick, our guest on Worldview Matters, coming up.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, hello, friends, family in Christ. Thank you again for sharing the podcast and especially for your prayers. The program is doing very, very well. Praise God and thanks to you. So, the website, worldviewcheckup.org. That's worldviewcheckup.org. Let's bring in our friend Dan Smithwick. So good to see you again, brother. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you, David, for having me on again. This matter that is your ministry is probably the issue of the day. And so we're a ministry that's been around over 30 years on the theme of worldview. We're known in Christian schools for our worldview assessment. But the question you raise, do we have time to win?
Yes, yes.
And we say absolutely. But there's a couple of qualifiers for that. First, we have to understand when we say there's a worldview war, what do we mean by that? This is not just a polite conversation about some different ideas that we hold with friends and relatives. This is a war at the highest level, ideologically, of attempting to control policy that forces behaviors on a nation.
Yes.
That's the war we're talking about. And your question is, can we win it? And we argue strongly, yes, we can win it, but we have to be engaged. We can't just be on the sideline saying, oh my gosh, look how bad things are.
Well, we are running out of time. That's the truth. We're one day closer to Jesus returning and things changing, which we're all looking forward to. But right now we're losing losing generations of children. We're losing our nation. We've lost influence, not completely, because there are a lot of wonderful churches in America, as you would agree. Great pastors, I call them the remnant of true yes. Bible-believing Christians that have a biblical worldview, that preach the whole counsel of God, that are not afraid to talk about issues that affect families and children and our culture. So I want to get to why we're having this conversation, Dan, and you sent me a packet. And by the way, I've got pillars here in front of me, but there's a business card that says Make America Think Again. I'm not even sure that's possible, but and I'm a little optimistic in most situations, but you're very optimistic about this, that we can actually get young people and get Americans, even adults, to think again, critical thinking. Talk to us about that a little bit first.
You know, we just did a little play on Trump's MAGA. Everybody in the world knows what MAGA means, and we agree with that. But the question there is, can we be great again? And so we just created this MATA, Make America Think Again, because our thinking wrong is what has gotten us into this problem. Mm-hmm. So we've been here before. Our nation has been in trouble before. The world has been in trouble for centuries at times. Israel used to get into trouble because of wrong thinking. You know, they started worshiping idols and doing all kinds of bad things, and God would bring about a course correction. And that's happened throughout history. So that's why we say, let's just go to work. Let's not worry about the time. Let's just believe that if we obey God, and we're doing that in all these different spheres of life, that we're going to win this thing. And that's why we're optimistic. Yes, there's a battle ahead of us. And yes, it's going to require some work. And yes, pastors have to lead their flocks in perhaps some new ways with some new tools. So that's why we've named this new platform for our worldview assessment, worldviewcheckup.org. And we are asking pastors across America, do a worldview checkup on your flock. And you may be surprised how some of your flocks are thinking about various issues. And
yeah,
that's where we have to, you know, like when we're not feeling well, eventually we'll go to a doctor and the doctor says, maybe I should take some x-rays. And then he comes back and says, here's what I see. Now what? So that's what the Peirce test is. It's a worldview x-ray of our thoughts.
Yes.
And, you know, this has been around for 35 years. It's been through a very critical evaluation, validity and reliability assessment. It's used over 1,000 schools, including several higher ed institutions. So we know it is a tool that has meaning. It has validity. In fact, there's a tab on our website that says, why believe Nehemiah? Meaning, why believe us? You know, who are we? Mm-hmm. But the data is there. And so we published this Peirce trend chart, which perhaps we can bring up at some point.
Yeah, well, before we get to this, though, that's the worldview trend chart. In the letter that you sent me, I want to just read this because I highlighted something and pointed something out. You said that you're quite confident that if we can successfully engage churches with the Peirce and Pillars program, it will go a long way in returning to biblical-based education and yes, restoration of our Judeo-Christian heritage. And I put a highlight and a big if in quotes. You said you are quite confident that if we can successfully engage churches. Dan Smithwick, how do we do that? Because a lot of pastors are just simply, I don't know if they're not interested, they're too busy, they've got other priorities, they're not engaged, they're not equipping their congregations. Talk to us about that. That's a big if.
Yeah, I realize that. I also realize God always has his remnant out there.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, pastors are charged scripturally with equipping the saints. That's basically, you know, what churches are to do is equip the saints to rightfully worship the Lord, to rightfully occupy until he comes. That may be soon. That may be far off. You know, we're not told that specifically. We're supposed to be about the business of advancing the kingdom of Christ until he decides it's time to come back. So that's his, and, you know, ballpark, not ours. So to engage churches, well, I got to back up a bit. Here's what we say, David. The reason that we're in trouble in so many ways is because we have been miseducated about how to do these spheres of life correctly. And that's what we have to acknowledge. And it's why we say that we have to make worldview a pulpit topic, because that means we have to start addressing and teaching our audiences in churches how to reason from Scripture to a right understanding in all of these spheres that we address with the Peirce test. And, you know, it used to be that way. When America was founded, what the Puritans and the Pilgrims brought over was a very strong biblical worldview, which survived for 200 plus years, largely what the founding fathers held to. It's what the colonies held to that formed America. But over the next 100 or so years, things started to weaken and we started to let go of responsibilities. And that was a big mistake. So churches, you have to fight the war that's in front of you. And then this is the world. This is what it is. It's a worldview war. Pastors want to, you know, do sermons on a lot of different topics, and they're all important. You know, marriage, raising children, finances. But we've got to understand the war that's in our face.
That's right. Yeah, there's a lack of understanding of the spiritual battle, the warfare, the demonic entities and agendas that are going on, that are coming against the church, that are coming against people But let's go back to the worldview trend chart, and let's just take a couple minutes before we have to take a brief break, Dan, and just set this up for the, we have a lot of newer viewers and listeners since you were on last, so go back to the basics, just walk us through this, please.
Sure, that is a 30-year picture of our testing results, and this is all high school students from Christian homes that have taken the test over these 30 years, 100,000 students, 1,000 schools. And so from the bottom up, the black line represents students from Christian homes in public school. The next line up are students in what we call traditional Christian schools, both going down. And that means going away from a biblical worldview towards a secular worldview. Hmm. The green line is homeschool students, slightly going up year by year, which is good news. And the top line is a demonstration. These are worldview Christian schools. These are Christian schools that make a big deal out of the phrase worldview.
Wow.
Regarding teacher training, regarding curriculum, and just doing things with a real emphasis on the right understanding of the term worldview. So obviously it makes a difference. So those bottom two lines, which represents over 90% of our kids from Christian homes, in churches, in youth groups, in Christian schools, going the wrong direction with their thoughts.
Wow.
And so our box on the corner, lower right corner, says 90% of our youth live in that box. They're deep into a secular worldview. Now, Pastor, I'm going to tell you, this is your biggest problem. Because if 90% of our kids are in that box, they're not going to keep going to church after they leave home, as most pastors already know. They're not going to perpetuate the Christian faith after they leave home. So we have to find a way to turn that corner and get 90% of our kids looking like the top chart. And that's what our worldview test does on our homepage. It shows that. That's the crisis that we're facing, David.
Well, I want to reiterate something. If I understood you correctly, Dan, the bad news, at least 90% of youth from so-called, I should say, Christian homes are increasingly abandoning the biblical worldview, the Christian worldview in some form. They're turning toward the secular or anti-Christian worldview. That, and this includes, quote, Christian schools as well, correct?
Oh, it's mostly Christian schools.
90, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, at least 85% of our audience are Christian school students.
Wow.
So that's how badly secularism has crept into our schools, our education system, as well as, you know, youth groups, which are particularly a problem. You know, when we have a school that does the worldview test, peers, or a youth group, one of the reports they get is called top 10. Out of the 70 questions on the test, we say, here are the top 10 that were missed. And frequently, school administrators, teachers, pastors, they look at that and they say, how in the world could our kids be believing this stuff? But they are. That's why the results are so low.
Can you give us an example?
Well, let's go to the website and scroll down towards the bottom, because we've put five of those questions on the website.
Oh, okay.
And those five questions are right off of the 70 questions. And, you know, people can just read the statement and you mark agree or disagree, and you go through the five and do that, and then you hit score. Anything below a 30 is quite a problem. We like to be above 70. So that's just a sample of the questions that you can read one of them if you want, David, or a couple of them. But
well, sure. You know, let's just start with, we've got a couple minutes. Well, let's just do one before we have to take a break.
Yes.
Number one, in a democratic society, citizens have a right to an education, and this must be protected and enforced by civil governments. Friends, if you don't disagree with that, we've got problems. Am I right on at least that one, Dan?
You are exactly right. And that, when we think that we have a right, first, there's two problems with that statement. One, it's not a right. Education is not a right. We have a responsibility to be educated. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. But even if it was a right, which is not, Education is not a responsibility of government. Now, that really shocks a lot of people, and they want to argue about that. But we did not have education running government until 150 years ago. Our 400-year history did not have government in charge of education. It's a big, big problem.
Yep, and that's, yes, that is new in recent modern history. But let's take a brief pause. We're with Dan Smithwick. The website is worldviewcheckup.org. He is the president of Nehemiah Institute. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. All right, talk about worldview, friends, and the Judeo-Christian worldview. And principles. Right now, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live anytime and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. And to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com, and use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. Back to Dan Smithwick. We're talking about the Peers Trend Chart, and we're talking about something very important, friends, and that's getting a worldview checkup, and our churches need it, our families need it, if we're going to slow this tide, I guess, tidal wave, this tide of secularism and anti-Christian movements and ideologies. So let's go back to wherever you want. Do you want to go back to the questions, Dan, or you want to go on to something
else? I'd like
to
jump up a little bit to the group testing section.
Sure, group testing. Okay.
Right there. So here's what a church would do. They would click on this link, group testing,
okay,
and have somebody be the proctor for this project. And they go through and fill out a profile for their organization, their church. At the bottom of the page you're now showing, there's a get started here. And they fill out a profile for the church. And let's say that a church wants to test three groups. Let's say the staff of the church, and then the general audience, the general membership. And then the third one would be the youth group. If they test those three groups, they'll get summary results for each of the three groups. And I can promise you, the pastors will be shocked at the difference in results between the pastoral staff, the general membership, and the youth group. And so, say they were going to order 500 tests. That gives them the best discount. And by the way, the pricing goes down as the quantities of tests increase. So they buy 500 tests, and say 40 are for the staff, and 250 are for the audience, and maybe 100 for youth groups, college or high school youth groups. And when they take the test, it takes about 20, 30 minutes. They all get an instant scorecard. It's highly confidential. And the pastor will get summary reports, all automatic, right at his fingertips, that shows how did the three groups do and how were they different from one another. And with that information, he has got a month of Sundays of sermons right at his fingertips. And what's also one other important point here, when a person gets their scorecard, it shows which questions we say they were on the wrong side of. Most of those questions will have a position paper digitally linked on their scorecard. So they get a ready-made Bible study on that question. Oh. Most of them are about a 6 to 8 page position paper, given a biblical defense of why we say you should have agreed or disagreed.
That's
so
great.
This is a testing tool and a training tool all in one.
I like that. You're not just being tested, but you provide resources and training.
Yes,
I was going to ask you that question. What if a pastor would say he's got a church of 300 people, and he's listening to us and go, yeah, well, I have a feeling just by talking to people, I'm doing my best to teach the Bible, but I know that a lot of people don't have a biblical worldview. So can they go to your website and just find resources?
Yes, we have a store, and on that store is our worldview primer course called Pillars. That's the main one. Yes, exactly right. That is meant to be a study or a read and discuss, study for small groups or home groups or
Okay.
Sunday school classes. So peers and pillars work together as the
Yep.
assessment and as the primer or the, remedial action book.
So there is one thing I wanted to ask you, Dan, and this goes back to the letter that you sent me. It says, the great majority of Christian youth have not been equipped with a mature biblical worldview, in spite the fact that nearly all Christian schools state on their website. Now, remember, Christian schools, some of them, it stated on their website that they provide biblical worldview education for their students. My question is, why the disconnect?
Two things. Where did they get their teachers? And who trained their teachers?
Ooh.
Most of the teachers come out of public universities with a degree in education. And a degree in education from a state university today is poison. That worldview is going to come right into the classroom through the teacher. And the second one then would be curriculum. What curriculum are they using? There's very good curriculum and there's very bad curriculum. And so that takes some homework to do that. But to your point of what they say in their website, we just recently tested a school in Ohio. This, and it says on their website, we're giving your kids a mature biblical worldview, dot, 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 dot. All of the schools say that today in their websites. This particular school, with their seniors, average score 10.
10 out of what?
Okay, our scoring range is plus 100 to minus 100, so it's a raw score, not a percentage.
Okay.
But anything below 30 is deep into secular humanism. And we want to see people above 70. 70 is our benchmark for a biblical theistic worldview. And here they're sending out their seniors. I mean, they're going to graduate them in a few days. With that kind of a score, that tells me there's no chance they're going to go off out into the world and perpetuate and promote a biblical. It's not in their heart, it's not in their mind.
Right.
It's
So
tragic.
let me clarify, Dan. These are seniors at a private or a Christian school?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I think a lot of people are hearing that and watching right now are having a hard time grasping that reality, that truth.
Yeah. Well, it is hard to grasp because, we want to believe that, we're paying all this money, $10,000 to $15,000 a year tuition. Our teachers are professing Christians. We have a Bible class. We have a chapel service. Of course, our kids are being well educated. And of course, they have a biblical worldview. No, not necessarily.
No, they don't.
Because what are they really learning in history? What are they really learning in science? And you can write through all the subjects. If they're not being taught from a distinctly biblical perspective, reasoning from scripture, it's going to come out wrong. And that's what that Pierce trend chart shows. That's what the lower results on that trend chart was down in the teens. And
Yep.
this is just one more example or the latest example of that.
Wow. This is eye-opening and tragic at the same time. So you say in the rest you really are trying to work for the restoration of our Christian heritage, and you'd say that you are worried that the faith community may sit back now that the White House has the right so-called sheriff in town. And then you say it's not the White House that will restore our Christian heritage. It is our house, meaning Christian churches led by 330,000 some churches across America that will hopefully the remnant of those with the true biblical worldview can help cause our nation to glorify God again. In the last 3 minutes, could you talk more about that, Dan?
That is a real problem in the evangelical world. And we're all happy, of course, with the change of the administration. He's being, pressured a lot. But we cannot make Washington our savior. We cannot make the White House our savior. This
Amen.
has to happen at the local level, church by church, family by family, city by city, county by county. That's the way the Constitution is set up, is that we start at the local level and elect people to take the right views to the next level, to the next level, and eventually to the White House or to Congress. So we cannot sit back and say Trump's going to fix everything. That's a real serious mistake.
Yeah, I mean, he's putting out some great executive orders. He does have many, not all, but many godly men and women around him, believers in Christ, in the cabinet and in the administration. But even they can only go so far. You're right. It's got to start with local churches and schools.
They can't come into our cities and tell the city hall what to do or the county commissioners what to do.
That's right.
They can promote good ideas and policies at a federal level. But unless that's really done at the local level, we just keep regurgitating the same mistakes.
Yep. Oh, it's great to have you on again to talk about these things, Dan. In the last minute, minute and a half or so, just would you like to just, the best place to go is worldviewcheckup.org. Please encourage
worldviewcheckup.org. And so for those individuals that are with us, just scroll down and click on the individual, start here, and they can do their own test.
Okay.
After reading the letter there and, or if a church wants to do this, and for every pastor that's hearing this, I implore you, do a worldview checkup on your church. It's not difficult. It's not expensive. It's just being willing to get the results and look and analyze those results and say, wow, here's some things I need to address. And they can call us. And I'm happy to talk to pastors. I do a lot of interviewing, you know, with people to help them decide which questions should be dealt with.
Yep.
And the program works.
Yep.
Program.
Yep. You have the great tools and resources. And I think most pastors, an overwhelming majority, will be surprised at the results from their own congregants on their worldview. And because we do have a lot of work to do. But Dan, thank you. We appreciate Nehemiah Institute. Friends, again, the website is worldviewcheckup.org. worldviewcheckup.org. Brother, thanks for all you do. You've been faithful doing this so many years. We appreciate your time today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me on again, David. God bless you.
God bless you as well. This is such an important topic. Obviously, it's in the title of our show, guys. Worldview matters. Oh, my goodness. Well, praise God. Thanks for sharing the podcast and your prayers and financial support as well. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.